Sean, as usual, it's great to have you on my radio show, as I've had for so many years now. And you're doing this really awesome album called The Three Tremors. And let's talk about this project. How did this whole thing come together? And talk about the new album.
Well, hey, Tony, it's really good to talk to you again. Great to be on the Metal Command radio show. You know, it's hard for us to do these interviews because we always want to talk about the Chargers, but we got to stay focused, man. We got to stay focused, even though we're in the playoffs and we got New England coming up. So I was just, coming off the Cage Ancient Evil album, where we did, a concept album and a book and all that. And so I'm like, okay, what's the next great heavy metal challenge that I can tackle? And was thinking about, the Three Tremors and how it was this urban legend of, Dickinson and Halford, and they were going to do this record. And it was just a shame that they never did it, that it actually never became a thing. Like I said, it's kind of like an urban legend or like an unfulfilled prophecy. And I just thought, why don't I create the 2019 version of the Three Tremors and get two other great heavy metal singers and just have us all three, wailing on this record. And that idea was how it started, and I kind of brought it, up to the Cage guys, and they're like, yeah, man, let's go for it. So then I had to contact, who are the other two Tremors going to be? Of course, I had to make myself one because that's probably the only way I'd get into the Three Tremors if I was the one making the record. So I was the first Tremor, and I hit up Ripper, and I was just so stoked that he decided to be part of it, with being a big fan of his, and then his pedigree, being in Judas Priest. And then we had another guy that ended up not being in it, but we had talked to him, was considering it, and was kind of gonna do it, and then he decided, I'm leaving him anonymous. I haven't revealed who he is yet. I might have told you offline, but don't say anything.
No.
And he was just too busy, and we ended up, I'd kind of talked to Harry about it while we were at a party in Germany together, and he's like, yeah, man, I'll do it. So once the other guy kind of wasn't in the picture, I called Harry up. I go, hey, remember talking about that? And he was like, yeah, man, I'm down. And it worked out really good that we ended up getting Harry, because he's incredible and he fits right in, probably way better than the other guy would have been. And now, January 18th, after all this time and all this work and recording and writing these songs, the album finally comes out.
So obviously you guys are singing on this, and it's unfortunate that the original Three Tremors thing that was proposed by Dickinson and Halford, and I don't know whether it was going to be Dio or Jeff Tate, but it's unfortunate it didn't happen. But at the same time, it's great that you guys are doing this. So what has the response been? What has the response been so far, from the shows you've done and from what people have heard so far?
Well, we did... so it's me, Harry Conklin from Jagdpanzer, and Tim Ripper Owens, from Iced Earth and Judas Priest fame and everything. And we all three sing on every song. So it's not like one guy takes a song and goes away. It's like we're all three harmonizing and singing over each other and on every song. And that's kind of the way it was designed. So we've already done, we did a tour in Europe of 17 shows. And the set included every song on the album. So we went out and played all 12 songs from the album live. And by the time we did the tour, we had only released two lyric videos. So there were only two songs that the public had any access to. But yet we were playing another 10 songs for them that they had no clue, they'd never heard in their life. So that's kind of a weird dynamic when you go on tour and you're a brand new band and everything. But it ended up being a real good strategy, because now we know that those songs, every one of them was just a hit with the fan. It was incredible, the response. And quite often we'd play the show and then some you know, German dude would come up with this like beat up battle vest with a million patches on. It's like, may I speak with you for a moment? And I'm like, yeah. And he'd be like, I have seen over 1,000 heavy metal shows, and this was amazing. And we're like, ah, cool. So, and then there were the other people that were like, hey, man, we came here like fully skeptical, thinking this was going to be not good. And man, you guys blew us away. So the reaction was incredible. And, you know, we were still dialing in the performance all the way. And, but it went, the original stuff went over great. And then, of course, we played like a couple Judas Priest songs. We, you know, Painkiller, The Sentinel. Tim did Burn in Hell by himself off the Jugulator album. I would do a Cage song, The Hell Destroyer. And mm-hmm. Harry would do Black from Jagdpanzer. And then we also played Scream Machine from Rippers Beyond Fear album, because everybody in the backing band and myself loved playing that. So we he didn't want to do it, but we kind of forced it on him, and now we're doing it every time.
So, Sean, what's it like to be able to sing on stage with two very high caliber vocalists the way that you're doing with this Three Tremors thing?
Well, it's... I just got done editing like a ton of video from all the footage that we took on the road for a live video that we're putting out. And a lot of it's me holding, you know, my cell phone cam, you know, filming the guys while they're playing. And it's just cool to see how into it those dudes are. Like, they dig the songs. That was when we sent them the song, I was just like, man, I hope they like this music. But they literally, you know, deep in their bones, like, dig the music and are really enjoying playing these original songs, which is cool. So you can see that they're just having a really good time performing. And I'm just trying not to embarrass myself, man. Those dudes are both so freaking good. I mean, they're two of the greatest singers on earth in any genre. I mean, they're just every night, they're just so freaking good. I mean, I have my moments of glory, but you know, I don't consider myself as good as those two guys. And so it's always good to surround yourself with better players than yourself. It makes me look a little better, and I don't have to try as hard. But it was incredible, man. Just being right next to Ripper and leaning over and harmonizing with him, it's like I would have never even thought this would have been a reality back then.
Now, you know, when I see stuff on social media and see people liking statuses and things like that, you know, I've seen these guys on Facebook like, you know, some of the stuff that you're doing. So, you know, it seems to me they've had that same respect for you as far as what you're doing vocally. And, you know, that's the vibe I've gotten by being friends with these guys on social media.
I hope so, man. You know, I don't know how familiar he is with the stuff, but... yeah, I mean, it's right. You know, when we started doing this and we were talking about going on the road, he was like, you know, this is my style. Like, this kind of music is my style of metal, which was really cool to hear. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, that's my style, too. You know, Judas Priest on steroids is kind of the thing. That's kind of how I like to roll with it. And, you know, Painkiller on steroids, I should say. And it was cool to hear him say that. And, you know, Harry's style... the Jagdpanzer stuff, it's a little different, but man, he really adapts well into this high octane speedy stuff.
Now, Harry is capable of doing the high screams like you guys do, but he sounds a lot different. And to me, it was important to have a guy that, in my opinion, would really bring something different to the table as opposed to the balls out, you know, just tearing it up on the mic and on stage that you and Ripper bring.
Yeah, the other guy that we were talking about getting, would have sounded too much like lost a lot of dynamics with it. So, like I said, it just ended up really good that Harry was the guy, and, you know, he added a lot of cool nuances. And his, you know, Ripper really stayed on the blueprint pretty tight that we sent him, but Harry went, you know, did a lot of his own thing, and some of the own thing melodies that he did actually came out really cool and added to it. So, yeah, man, and then live, he's a freaking, it's irritating how good Harry is. Like, we'll play, you know, a show, it's a 2-hour set. We get to the hotel at 3. Sometimes we have a early lobby call at like 7, and you know, everyone's just on survival mode, not even wanting to talk, just gets a cup of coffee, and Harry's like, hey, what's up, guy? Like, first thing in the morning, we're like, dude, We just did a, like, we've been up all night just sang a 2-hour set, and like, he's just like, it's the dude's voice is like invincible. It's insane.
So here's the next question for you. To be able to record and harmonize with multiple singers on every single song, you know, is not the easiest task. You have to go through and decide, you know, what parts am I going to sing and what parts am I going to record? What parts am I going to harmonize? Was this a difficult project to put together from the recording standpoint to figure out who was going to sing where?
Well, the way we did it is I sent them the completed song, like Sean Peck's full-on ultimate version, like all the harmonies, all the layers. And we didn't say, hey, you sing this, you sing that. Each guy sang an entire version of the album with all their own harmonies and their own stuff. And so a lot of Ripper's parts, we use his own harmony in some of that. Mm-hmm. The underlying tracks are actually Ripper, you know, because they just sounded so good. We're like, we might as well use his harmonies right here, you know, who cares? And so that's what we did. You know, we had three full versions of the album at our disposal, and then I would just go and listen to these versions, you know, over and over and over until I was just like, okay, yeah, I want this part here, and I wrote it down in a really detailed. Took a lot of time just to write down the schematic plan, and then I would take that plan into the studio with Dave, and I go, okay, let's bring up Ripper's tracks. We're going to take this here, this here, this here, and then we'd assemble them, not knowing what the final thing was going to sound like. I was just like, you know, I think it, because there's no way to hear it back like that until you actually put it together. So, right. You know, I'm like, okay, I think this is going to be cool, and it was a miracle that like 95% of the blueprint is what we went with. There's just a few things we tweaked, you know, as we went along, but the blueprint ended up being, you know, what you got on the record. And it's just like, we were guided by the hand of the metal gods, like somehow, like I always say, like, man, somehow we got lucky that it just came together like it did. And it doesn't sound like a giant choir of, you know, we didn't want it to sound like that. We didn't want it to be a gnarly Euro metal, 1,000 voices church choir thing. We wanted it to be a vicious new wave of British heavy metal mixed with the American, you know, heavy metal viciousness in it. With vocals, but, you know, still being able to pick out everything on an individual basis and not just, 20 layers in there.
Now, since you guys decided to take certain parts each guy recorded on these songs and use them, was it difficult to rehearse for this thing and remember what parts you were singing on what songs and where when you're playing live?
No, it was difficult because I was rehearsing with the band, you know, a couple months before Harry and Tim came out for the rehearsals that we had. And so I had to unlearn everything. I had to learn what not to sing. I was, you know, singing this 2-hour set of this crazy, it was like insane task. It got me in great vocal shape, having to sing this whole thing by myself. And when those other dudes showed up, I was like, oh, this is easy. I don't even have to sing this whole thing anymore.
Right.
But yeah, we only had two rehearsals and I felt it was like really loose. You know, I'm like, we didn't really get to go through Speed to Burn very well. By the time we got to the first show in Cyprus. But, man, I watched the videos from those first shows, and that went over great. You know, one guy would just – we were covering each other. Some guy, you know, it's still not, like, super tight, but one guy might sing a part that the next night he doesn't sing, and it's kind of just – it's working. And now after 17 shows, we kind of got a vibe for how each guy – works and if he's going to sing and if he's not, and we got it worked out. But it was only two live practices, and that was just, to me, like, is this gonna, you know, I didn't think it was enough, but it ended up working out really well. I just was watching the early videos of the first three shows and they sounded great.
Now, obviously, this is something that's very difficult to accomplish. It is the kind of project that, you know, a lot of people basically would have a hard time pulling off. So when you went into doing this and had the idea of doing this, you know, did you have any doubts this may or may not work? Or did you know these guys well enough to know that, hey, this will work?
Well, one of the reasons that I kept the music part in the Cage camp was because, you know, we had toured a lot together, and we're all like really pretty tight friends. I mean, we call each other all the time, just not, you know, even beyond band stuff, just like, hey, what's up, dude? So I knew that the five of us were road tested, and everyone, you know, all the Cage guys are like super cool. You know, we're just living for the glory to steal, mm-hmm. you know, trying to, it's all about having fun. No one's ever in a bad mood, you know, like we're talking about like touring for a month straight sometimes.
Right.
So I knew that the five of us were, you know, were on a good footing. And then, Harry, you know, we had to, you know, learn what Tim and Harry were all about, but it ended up being incredible, man. Like, it's like we are like a 7-man freaking street gang. Like, we are like bros. It's just nothing but laughs. When there's something that's not quite right and no one's freaking out. You know, I learned all about, you know, Tim's just really easygoing on the road. There's no diva, nothing, man. He's just happy to be up there playing, and so is Harry. And that's one of the reasons I really feel strongly that this is going to continue on and be like a serious band, you know, going forward,
right.
You know, as a live act, because we like just hanging out, man. You know, I just talked to Ripper a couple hours ago, and we talked about music for like 10 minutes, and the other 30 minutes was all on football. And so that really helps, man. When you're just like bros and you're having a blast, it makes it way more fun. So it was a pleasant, I thought it was going to be like that, but it was a pleasant surprise that we all bonded. We got to so tight. And Harry's like a madman. He's just like the crazy guy on the tour. He's always grabbing girls and, saying something wild. it's like he's a kick, man. And it's always, you never know what he's going to say next. That makes it fun.
Now I'm going to shift gears a little bit and talk about Death Dealer for a moment. And you're working on another album, and, you know, how's that going? And when do you possibly imagine that coming out?
Yeah, so, you know, the first two Death Dealer albums were just, I love those albums. They're so freaking good, man. I mean, I'm not tooting my own horn, but there's a bunch of great songs on there. And we've been sitting on this Death Dealer, this third album, for a long time. I mean, Stu and I got together and put together literally like 10 or 11 songs real quick, where I've recorded vocals and stuff. And then as everyone, you know, he has his Night Legion going on, and I've got all this other, these other bands and stuff been doing. So it's just like, we slowly get together and go, hey, well, maybe change these parts. So tinkering with it, but never really hunkering down to get it finished. And so recently we've been spending a lot more time, finishing it up. And, you know, I just tracked some vocals a couple days ago that came out really good. So we're really on the, you know, I'm saying we're 80% done with it. And, it's so far so good. It's really cool. And those first two albums are so hard to top, man. It's going to be a great album, but man, topping those first two is going to be tough. But I mean, I say that every album. I'm always worried about topping my last one and worried if people mm-hmm. are going to like it. It always seems to come out okay. But yeah, that's planned for towards the end of 2019. And then we're hoping to do some live shows and get together with Ross and everybody and play some live shows. Because the last tour we did for Hollow Ground, we really didn't play a lot of songs off that album live. I think we only did two. So there's all those cool songs off the second album that we need to play live. And now we'll have the new album, so we'll have a real good list of material to draw from. But yeah, we're looking forward to that. It's fun. It was really fun playing with those guys. We had some great times and played some insane shows, you know, Moscow and frickin' Istanbul. And so for the short period of time that band's been together, we had a real good run, and it'll be good to crank it back up again.
Now, the one thing I haven't heard much about is Denner Sherman. Is that something that's still going on? And talk a bit about that project you got going on and that you were a part of.
Denner Sherman was incredible. I mean, like writing songs with those dudes. I mean, the way they're like, you know, two legends. And so when we did the Three Tremors tour, the last show was in Copenhagen, and Michael Denner got on stage with us, and we played a couple of Merciful Fate songs, Curse of the Pharaohs and Black Funeral, which was just amazing. The place went nuts, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
We talked about maybe starting up, you know, writing another album by the end of 2019 and maybe doing some European shows. And it'd be amazing if I could drag them over here to do some U.S. dates. But, you know, right, we played a lot of big festivals. And by the end of the run that we had a couple of years ago, man, we were getting to be really a lethal band. I mean, we finally got it together. And I was really confident about that band. And so, yeah, hopefully, you know, later this year, early next year, we'll be riding again.
Now, let's plug your website a little bit. Let's talk about where they can get this Three Tremors stuff from. And, you know, give people the website. Where can they buy this at? And tell everybody where they can find out about Three Tremors online.
So right now we have pledgemusic.com. I don't know if people know about Pledge Music, pledgemusic.com. Really cool site. It's kind of like a Kickstarter site, but it's ours is not a Kickstarter like, you know, thing. It's a store on there with like all kinds of stuff, shirts. I mean, we got baseball cards. It's all kinds of stuff you can imagine. The CD, the digipack. We even have an insane, like, detailed vocal guide, which lists like whose voice is in every single spot. Like for the super music nerds, you've got to listen to this and really dive deep into it. There's a guide that comes for free with the purchase of any CD or vinyl that you get that says all that. And then also on thethreetremors.com, thethreetremors, T-R-E-M-O-R-S.com, there's a store up there. And you can also get tickets for the upcoming U.S. tour. So the U.S. tour starts February 14th, Valentine's Day in Seattle, which my girlfriend is really excited about. Like, hey, honey, I'll be in Seattle on Valentine's Day. Sorry, baby. Metal comes first. And then we go to Denver, and then we come back to here to San Diego, and to San Diego and the Whiskey and some other shows in California. Then we fly out a week after that and do the East Coast, the New York area, and then back, we cut back into the Midwest all the way through to Chicago and stuff. So we're going to get 15 shows in the United States. So come out and see us. And like I said, links for tickets are on thethreetremors.com, as well as a store to pick up the CD and everything.
Right.
The artwork on the CD is incredible. The booklet is just packed full of artwork. And you know how I do my packaging. I spent a lot of time and a lot of effort making it look just insane and over the top.
Dude, I gotta ask, what's with the minigun?
Yeah, Mark Sasso, he wanted to give me the minigun. I'm like, cool, dude, give me the minigun. I'll rock it. And you heard the record, right? You've heard the whole thing.
Yeah, I've listened to the whole thing.
Nice, nice.
So, yeah, the minigun I thought was great, dude. It's kind of like I kept thinking of the movie Predator when I saw that.
Of course, yeah. It's payback time. Yeah.
So anyway, go ahead.
But we wanted the album to sound like that album cover, and you can attest to the fact that, you know, we wanted this album to exceed everyone's expectations. So many times these super groups and these projects, they, you know, you look at the lineup and like, oh, this is going to be awesome. And then you hear it and like, yeah, I guess it's good, but it's not like mind blowing. We wanted everyone that's looking for the vocal fireworks and the, you know, the classic heavy metal vibe to be completely satisfied on this. And a lot of the comments we're getting is like, dude, this makes me feel like I was in high school again, which is really cool to hear that.
For my last question, Sean, do you have any last words to say to the fans that are going to be checking out this interview on my show?
Yeah, you know, like I said, thanks for having me. Every time we do something, you always have me on the show, and you know, me and you are friends outside of this, so it's always fun talking to you. And you know, this is just kind of, you know, it's not old school, but it's just like, this is the foundation of what all these subgenres of metal came from. This is just how I grew up on it. I grew up on heavy metal, walking into a giant arena with lasers and freaking giant robots and fire and leather and studs and, you know, everything over the top. And this is a tribute to that whole vibe of what got me into heavy metal and what led me down this life path now. And it's a celebration of that.